Hey, I'm Tom Riello, the chair of theology at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School.
And I'm Justin Costanza, the school president at Montgomery Catholic. And welcome to Water Cooler Catechism. Tom, we've got a great opportunity today.
Oh, absolutely. She has been trying to run from us for the last 3 months, but thankfully we know her agent, so we were able to basically corner her and get her to commit. And who would that be, Justin? Who is with
friend,
us today?
Our friend, Miss Eileen Aaron, principal at Montgomery Catholic. I already promoted her. The principal at Montgomery Catholic in the middle school and the high school, a good friend of ours. And today on Water Cooler Catechism, we get to introduce the rest of the diocese to one of our favorite people, one of our favorite Catholics, one of our favorite moms, certainly one of our favorite coworkers, and just an all-around person who loves life, loves the Lord, and today is going to learn to love radio a little bit. So right. Welcome, Eileen Aaron. And so introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us kind of who you are, where you're from, not yet how you got to Montgomery. We'll get there.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't know if I can top that introduction, but so my name, like Justin said, is Eileen Aaron. I am originally from Wheeling, West Virginia, small town in the northern panhandle. I grew up there. I went to all Catholic grade school, high school, and then in college I moved to Cleveland, Ohio, and went to John Carroll. It's a Jesuit school for my undergraduate work. Growing up, most of my friends were all Catholic. I have three sisters, and we all went through Catholic schools. After college, I went to graduate school in Akron. Continued to pretty much be surrounded by all Catholics. We're in the Northeast. I married after graduate school. Married someone I've known since kindergarten. Never dated, but all grew up in the same hometown, Rick Aaron. So after we got married, we moved to Texas, one of my first times of living in what I would consider the South, the Southwest, and it was there that my faith was challenged. I worked in a school district where the Catholic population in this town of Abilene, Texas, was minimal. The majority of the people I worked with were either Baptist or Church of Christ, and it really opened up. A lot of questions were asked about my faith, of why did I believe what I believed? Did I really worship Mary? have I been saved? And I wasn't able to answer those questions. So my husband and I were continuing going to church. We were still kind of considered a young couple. We didn't have children at the time. And the director of religious ed at our church asked us if we wanted to be on the core team of Life Teen. I said yes before my husband could say no. And
so he got committed.
If you know Rick at all, he's pretty shy and doesn't like to speak publicly. So we were part of this core team for Life Teen, and it was with other college students predominantly. We were probably the oldest in there in our 20s, and we were sitting with college students, and they were talking about the Eucharist. My husband also went to all Catholic school except college. So they started talking about the Eucharist and how it was the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and they really wanted these teens to know that. And we looked at each other, and we're like, oh my gosh, what do we do? Because we didn't have a good understanding of that. So we talked about it, and we thought we either have to get on board with this and learn this, or we're going to have to find another church. So luckily we stayed with Life Teen and learned a lot about our faith. And, you know, maybe we learned this in high school and just didn't pay attention, but I don't know we learned the fullness of truth in our high school religion classes, unfortunately. And then in college, I know I didn't learn it.
And, you know, Eileen, when you're describing just growing up in the North, and even, mm-hmm. you know, like Ohio is very, very Catholic. I don't think people really appreciate it, just how Catholic Ohio is. And it's just part of the culture. It's the air you breathe. It's like me growing up in New York. Everybody's Catholic. You know, what else is there?
Right.
And so you don't really have to fight for your faith. You don't really have to be challenged in your faith. And then you're put into the crucible of Abilene, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, what's the old saying? The fish doesn't know that it's wet until it's taken out of the water and it starts flailing around. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And then you're thrown into the situation. And I love how you put that. You actually, you recognized it almost to the point of where you said, look, if this is true, then we don't know our faith the way we should, or if it's not, then we got to find another church.
Right.
So you recognized that almost immediately.
We did, and it was scary because we had been brought up Catholic our entire life. That is all we knew. My husband in college kind of dabbled around in some other religions and looked into other Protestant religions, but just kept coming back to the Catholic faith, thank goodness. So we stuck with the Life Teen, and one of the best things we could have done is taught in Life Teen, taught on different subjects. And then we also got involved in RCIA, and the director of that asked me if I wanted to teach, and I was like, oh, no. And he's like, oh, sure, you can teach about the Pope, Mary, and the Eucharist. I was
here,
like, whoa. But that was one of the best things
I could have
done.
You were voluntold.
Yes, very much so. So that was one of the best things I could have done as well, because when you teach it, then you obviously have to learn it. So we did that. We also, so we were probably about 3 years into our marriage, and it wasn't going well. And as I mentioned, I've known him since kindergarten. We were always friends growing up. We were friends in high school, and it was not going well. I don't want to go into too much of the detail, but I thought we needed counseling. We were splitting apart. He came home from a trip. He was in the Air Force, and he was a pilot, and he came home from a trip, and he told me that he'd signed us up for NFP classes, and I was ready to kill him. I was
it's Catholic Church approved approach, in case you're tuning in and curious.
I looked at him and thought, we're going to have 13 children. So I went reluctantly. At the time, I was already pregnant with our first child, but I went there, and I sat probably through the first class with my arms folded, you know, and probably a scowl on my face, like, I do not want to be here. But as the couple began teaching about what was going on with my body and how things worked, and then when they really hit on the church's teaching about why the church teaches what it does, there was kind of a peace about it. And all those barriers and those walls that I'd put up and learned about and thought I knew about the Catholic faith kind of crumbled. So that was another turning point, the Life Teen being on the core team and then learning NFP and practicing that in our marriage was a huge turning point. And we both, Rick and I both, consider that that saved our marriage. Otherwise, we wouldn't be together today after 27 years.
It's funny you say that, because another couple that we both love and truly appreciate in our beautiful city of Montgomery is the Hoffpowers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very, very similar story as far as the power of NFP, natural family planning. And, you know, most people think of it as the Catholic version of birth control or
right.
The Catholic version of sexual, planning. But you just said something profound, just like Greg and Lisa have said. NFP is so much more. If you think NFP is just about sex, then you need to study what NFP is.
Right, right. We actually now teach NFP to couples. We've been doing that for probably 11 years. And that's the first thing. They think it's, you know, the church is teaching on contraception only. But if you can learn it and practice it, you learn how to communicate right. with your spouse about anything. You discuss your family plan every month. The church is teaching the whole theology of the body. I was introduced to through natural family planning. Humanae Vitae I learned about through natural family planning. And it just, I knew once I learned it and I knew and I really felt that the church got this right, then all my other misconceptions were gone and I could trust that they were right on everything else. Even if I didn't understand it at first, maybe didn't agree with whatever the teaching was, I had enough faith in them now that I don't have to worry about that. And that was a sense of peace.
It's a beautiful lie, what you just said. It makes me think of what St. John Henry Newman said, 1,000 difficulties does not make one doubt.
Yes.
There may be some difficulty. There's a lot about the Catholic Church teachings that I find difficult.
Right, right. But
not least of which is because I'm a sinner.
That too, me too.
But it doesn't make me doubt.
Right.
What else is there?
Eileen, you and Rick then had been married, you're pregnant, you're in NFP classes. This is your first of five kids.
Yes.
Megan.
Yes, yeah.
Who now has produced your first grandchild,
yes.
Which is so exciting. And you guys, you're married to an Air Force pilot. You have so much in your life that has been challenged, will continue to be challenged. Your faith is a part of those challenges. And you talk about your marriage being a little rocky, and then mm-hmm. you find this anchor. And You kind of settled down. I can hear, even as you were talking, you became more peace-filled in your story after you got through the hardships of marriage and the disagreements or the drifting apart, as you mentioned, which is so true.
Yeah.
And at the core of it was your faith. So now you're raising children. You're moving around. How did your faith within your family grow as you began to have kids?
So, you know, I mentioned that Rick and I both came through Catholic education, Catholic elementary and Catholic high school. And we really had a sense moving to Texas. Then we lived in Mississippi. We lived in the South for a good part of our marriage. And we had a lot of Protestant friends who asked a lot of hard questions that we couldn't always answer. And we kept looking back at the amount of Catholic education we had, we should have been able to answer these questions. And so for our own children, we didn't want that to happen. So we looked hard whenever we moved. We moved for 11 or 12 moves in 23, 25 years. And so those first few years when they're starting to get, you know, elementary age, we looked really hard at the Catholic schools that we were, you know, considering for our children. And I would go and I went with a list of questions, you know, do you teach this and what about this? And if they couldn't answer them well enough, I thought it's not worth my money. You know, I can do that. And so I ended up with our five children, I ended up homeschooling them for a good portion of the time. For, I think, 15 years, I was homeschooling someone. And part of that was because we moved so often. And as I, prior to children, I worked as a school psychologist. And so I saw a lot of those military kids come in with gaps. And I didn't want that for my children either. But more importantly, I wanted them to have a solid foundation in the faith. And that just changed, unfortunately, from place to place where we lived. So we did a lot on our own. I made sure the curriculum I used for religion and theology was sound. It didn't water it down. And then we did a lot in our family. We celebrated, you know, we celebrated All Saints Day. We celebrated St. Nicholas Day. We would celebrate their baptism anniversaries. We always made sure that was part of our routine. It was just going to be natural for them. You know, Christmas, this was a struggle for me, but Christmas, Rick was real big about, they will get three gifts, just like the wise men brought three gifts. And so there were
Rick. I just don't know where my wife hears that.
Just don't know where they found frankincense every year.
So we tried, we always made it, it was just a natural part of our family. It wasn't something we just did on Sundays. Also became very involved, whatever Catholic church we were attending, regardless of where it was, we got involved in some way through RCIA. Rick would teach a Bible study. If the children were in religious education classes, especially for their sacrament years, I would typically teach that, you know, that sacrament class. So we always stayed involved with the Catholic church or with a church we were attending. Also, we always made sure we surrounded ourselves with other good Catholic families. You could find that pretty easily in the military community, but that was always important for those tougher times and when you couldn't maybe find a good Catholic church.
And one of the places you can find lots of great Catholic everything, fill in the blank, whether a church, a parish, a community, is right here on Archangel Radio,
Absolutely,
Tom.
Justin. And you are listening to Archangel Radio, 1410 AM and 94.5. And let me tell you, if you are in Baldwin County or Mobile County, you can listen in your car and you can turn on the dial. But if you are like us in the capital of dreams, you have to go on your app or you can go online and listen. And my favorite way, and I know Justin's favorite way, is to download the app. So go to your favorite app store, download the Archangel Radio app. And it is as if you are right there, right outside the studios, right by St. Lawrence Church, right by Archangel Radio Studios. And so it is a great way for you to stay abreast of what's going on in the Archdiocese of Mobile. That's one of the great blessings of Archangel Radio. We have the Archbishop Show. We have the Live Hour with Todd and Ellen and Mike. And you have a real opportunity to stay in touch with what's going on. You have Water Cooler Catechism, our show. It's a real impact, has a real impact in shrinking the diocese. You know, we are a rather large diocese. People don't realize how large our diocese is. Land-wise, we may be small numbers-wise, about 70,000 Catholics, but land-wise, we cover quite the terrain. In fact, we actually go into two time zones. So Archangel Radio does a great job of keeping those who are wanting to know what's going on in the Archdiocese informed. So there we go.
You know, Eileen, you mentioned finally making it to Montgomery. So we're going to kind of speed through having five kids and all the fun stuff that comes with that. You mentioned homeschooling and determining how Catholic schools could be a part of your children's upbringing. And you landed in Montgomery, Alabama. And so let's be honest, the folks listening, you know, up and down this I-65 corridor, Montgomery is quite the metropolis, and it is known nationwide as a hub of all things Catholic. And I know that you came here with that impression, and I know you were so excited. The West Virginia girl that you are couldn't wait to get to, you know, the North American Mecca that is Montgomery. What were your thoughts as you came here? Straighten me out. I think I sent us astray.
I think you did, unfortunately. So we were fortunate in the military to live in some wonderful places. You know, I mentioned we spent a lot of time in the South, and it grew on me. I always told Rick, and I tell people, that really didn't matter where we lived. It was the people that we met along the way. However, towards the end of our military career, we lived in Alaska and went from there to Germany and then California. So those are pretty exciting places. We were pretty blessed to live in those. So Rick was deployed that last year. We were living in California, and he calls me from Afghanistan and said, "Hey, I have our next assignment." I'm like, "Okay." And he said, "We're going to Maxwell." I'm like, Maxwell. Oh, Montgomery. We had been here before for school. Wasn't my favorite place. But so I thought, okay, we can do this. 2 years, we can do this, and we'll be out. We'll go wherever, you know, we want to live. So we get here, and I was still homeschooling the younger children. The older two were in high school. So we get here, and I need to look for high school to put them back in high school. So we looked at some of the schools. I called Montgomery Catholic. And the guidance counselor at the time happened to be someone we were stationed with originally in Abilene, Texas. At the time, they were not Catholic. And so he's now the guidance counselor
here.
Too
funny.
Yeah. God had a plan. So I talked to him for a while. And then I met, at the time, it was Chad Barwick was the principal. I met him. And one of the first things I did, I asked what they were using for religion, what books they were using for the religion class. And once I learned that, I'm like, okay, the kids can go to school here. And I'm glad they did. I'm more than glad they did. I have never been in a place, we never found a school in all the places we lived that truly lived the Catholic faith, taught it, and lives it. And so our kids have gone through here. We've got one of the best theology departments that we've ever run into. The priests in the diocese are amazing, good, faithful priests. The leadership of Archbishop Rohde. We couldn't ask for more. So, and like I said, it's always where the people that you meet, where we've lived. And so, honestly, no, I wasn't excited about coming to Montgomery, but I'm glad, you know, God sent us here.
I think a lot of people, when you come to Montgomery, and even to the folks in the Archdiocese of Mobile, you know, let's be honest. We look at the data. I mentioned we're about 70,000 Catholics. Of that number, you're probably looking at about 50,000 Catholics live in two counties,
mm-hmm.
you know, Baldwin and Mobile counties. And then outside of that, then you got, you know, you got St. Michael's, you got Holy Spirit, you got St. Bede's, you know, you got St. Columbus and Dothan. You know, those are some of the larger parishes outside of Mobile. But if you only really know about Montgomery from the distance, you think, what, you know, it's almost like Nathaniel in the Gospels. Can anything good come from Montgomery? And then when people come here, and I think it's the Abilene, Texas experience.
Mm-hmm.
If you take seriously your Catholic faith, you will have an opportunity to grow here in a way that, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to those in Mobile and Baldwin counties, because I'm a New Yorker, so please know I say this out of love. It's easy for you to look around the corner in Mobile and see, oh, there's a lot of Catholic churches. There's St. Catherine's, there's St. Ignatius.
Right, right.
You don't have that in Montgomery.
Right.
You just don't. So if you're Catholic in Montgomery, it's game on. Because you're going to be asked five times a day from Wednesday, are you saved?
Right.
Do you want to go to church with me on Wednesday? Right. Even at work, like in Montgomery, Alabama, I learned this early on, Eileen. I was in the post office, and there were just some things that you just never ask people in New York. And you know, you talk about religion, you didn't talk about mm-hmm. anything that was controversial. You could talk about the Mets and the Yankees, but God forbid I touched on anything deep. And I'll never forget, I was in the Shakespeare Station post office, and I was asked online, if I was saved. and I said, I'm going to love this place. Mm-hmm. They talk about the things I want to talk about.
Right. And now I feel like I can answer those questions. I know my faith much better than I did originally in Abilene, Texas and Mississippi. And I can answer those questions honestly and solidly.
Talk a little bit about your role now as principal and how your experience as a mother, your experience as a wife has prepared you for that role.
So it's funny. I often say, you know, in the past few months in this new role that I've gone from being a mom of five to a mom of 380.
Talk about NFP at work.
And I've had those conversations as well, and I'm happy to. I actually got to speak to some of the young women's leadership the other day, a little bit about NFP, so that was nice. But it's not a role I ever expected to be in. It took a lot of prayer. Took some nudging from the two of you. It did take a lot of prayer. The funny thing was when we started talking about it, and I left Justin, I said, I'm really going to have to pray about this. And I come out into the hallway, and there's Tom Riello saying, hey, Father Driscoll's here, and he's going to say Mass. Do you want to come? I'm like, absolutely. So I'm in this role now, being a mom, moving all over the place, homeschooling my own children. All of that has prepared me well. But one of the best things that's prepared me is knowing my faith, knowing that I can lean on God, and always trying to seek to do his will. That has served me well in the past, and it absolutely will serve me now.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that you mentioned about being nudged, listen, you know, sometimes in life, and I mean this, Eileen, when we were seeing the decision, when Mrs. Caesar, when Ann Caesar, our great president for so many years, said it was time for her to retire, and you know, it was Justin moving into that position, the natural fit. And I think I speak for my colleagues in the faculty. You were the natural fit, and I think it goes on. And again, this goes back to St. McGill Toulon, St. Michael's, amazing schools. We have amazing schools in our diocese, but we're all different. I mean, we're different, you know. And I'd just like to remind McGill and St. Michael's that we're the oldest in the family, right? So 147, going to be 148. That's going to be a lot of candles on that cake. But I think one of the things that's important is not anybody can come into Montgomery, I think, and just make the decisions, because it really is unique. It really is unique as far as the Catholic community and integrating that in a winsome and evangelical way, because even student body wise, depending upon the year, we're probably average about 65-35 as far as Catholic to non-Catholic across the K-12. But then, and you get into your particular classes, you may have a class. I was talking to recently Father Connor Plessela was in one of our classes, and you mentioned that's another thing, right? I mean, Father Connor and Father Gilbert, I mean, they're just amazing. They're here all the time. You know, we've been so blessed with all the priests over the years, Father Napolitano, Father Arensberg, Father Greenwell, spending so much time on our campus. But how he noticed the other day in class, he was in a class, one of the freshman classes, and there's 20 kids in there. But in that particular class, the way it broke, there was like six Catholics in the class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a reality.
Right.
That's probably not the reality at St. Michael's or McGill Toulon. And so you have to know that going in and how you interact, or you can be a bull in a china shop.
And
it takes that kind of motherly discipline to do that.
And so, Eileen, right here on Water Cooler Catechism, we like to think about two guys standing at the water cooler, you know, just kind of throwing around about their faith. How does it impact their life? So we've got about 2.5 minutes left. If I'm a mom listening, or if I'm a parent listening, I don't have to be a mom. If I'm a parent listening and using what you have learned through your marriage, through this budding relationship with God that you talked about as you got married and started to experience motherhood and started to participate in Life Teen and working with young people in their faith, what are some of those points of experience that you would want to share? What are those little nuggets that if I was a young parent, or maybe a parent of a teenager who feels like they're drowning and has no idea what to do, what are some words of wisdom that you would have to share to help guide them to guide their own children?
My first words of wisdom would be to pray, always to pray. Spend time, and it's not always asking. It's being quiet, listening to God, seeking to do His will. That is the biggest thing I guess I could offer, is always seeking to do His will and what is right. Sometimes it's hard to determine what that is. Be open to people that He puts in your life. Be open to suggestions that people, you know, those people that you trust, that they put in, you know, they offer you. So pray. And then educate yourself. If you're not sure what the Catholic Church teaches or why they teach what they teach, take advantage of the opportunities, especially if you're here in Montgomery, of all of the different adult education opportunities we have. Even if you go, you know, with a begrudgingly, kind of like I did to our NFP classes, go anyway and be open to learn what's being taught.
No, I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm so taken by what you just rolled those so easily and so quickly. I was like, I hope I don't stump her. I hope she's ready to roll a few of these off. You're so selfless, because in all of those responses, you did not even mention the fact that you married well, and your husband married super well too, by the way. Your relationship was the key to everything else you just named. If you did not embrace your relationship and your marriage with Rick and make that the most important thing to both of you, and he did that as well, then it would have not made anything else you just said possible.
Absolutely.
So we want to say thanks to our friend, our principal right here at Montgomery Catholic Preparatory School, Miss Eileen Aaron, for joining us today on Water Cooler Catechism.